Hey guys, welcome to All the Things with Shirley Hagel. This is Shirley Hagel. Are you having a good week? I hope so. It's Monday. Happy Monday. It's not really mine. It's not really Monday. It's Monday now because you're hearing it, but I'm not recording this on Monday. Anyways, I hope you're doing well. Today I have one of my friends on the podcast, Rachel. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just finished doing Rachel's hair. I've been doing Rachel's hair for 10 years now. And I actually think it's been longer than 10 years. Maybe it must have been 2008. Right. For a second, I thought it might have been 2007.
It might have been.
It might have been. I'm not sure. 2008 or 2007 is when I started doing her hair. In Tallahassee, Florida, we both went to Florida State. We had a mutual friend in common. That mutual friend sent her to Green Peridot, and I started doing her hair. Tell me about how your hair was when I met you.
When you met me, I was trying to lighten my hair and putting lemon juice in it, and it broke off.
Lemon juice or sun-in?
I think it was lemon juice. Oh, okay. I don't think I was like splurging for the actual sun-in.
Oh my gosh. And she's natural redhead, like a light red strawberry, natural strawberry. Oh my God. That's so funny. I do remember that. I remember being on a hair journey, like reviving your hair, and it took a little while, but we totally did it.
But that's why we came to love each other, because I had to keep going back.
Yes. That's how we do it. That's how we get you.
Back then I had highlights, you know, it was all very Florida.
It was very Florida highlights, and it was long. It was very long. And then you moved to New York in 2009, and thank you, Facebook, we stayed in touch. I moved to New York in 2012, and I basically reached out to every person I knew that lived in New York, especially clients, to be like, hey, I'm moving there. And I was so grateful that you were so excited that I could do your hair again. Let's go back to October of 2012. I had just moved to New York. You had just started SHK. Tell them what SHK is.
SHK was a digital magazine, a website, fashion, contemporary, lifestyle, that I was running at the time. And when you moved to New York, it was perfect because I was always looking for artists, hairstylists, makeup artists, the whole crew, because we produced all of our own content, like, by ourselves from scratch. So you were very helpful when you moved here and kind of came on board as like an ongoing team member.
Yeah. So you guys had a party the day that we arrived in New York, and you invited me to this party, and we were so tired. We had literally just pulled in, unloaded all of our stuff, which actually we hired movers, so I can't really even say that we did a lot of work, but either way, it was the day that we got here. And I remember like looking at Hagel being like, fuck it. Welcome to New York. I guess, like, how do you say no to a party? Like, you got invited to a party the day you arrived. Like, you better go. That'd be crazy. And I was really glad that we did, because reconnecting with you, I wasn't already in a salon yet. And so you were like, oh, you have to do my hair again. And I remember being like, well, I'm not set up anywhere, but I'll happily come do it. And then you were also like, SHK, we're constantly need hairstylists or whatever. And I had no editorial experience at the time. I mean, I had done a couple photo shoots here and there, but like small stuff in Tallahassee, nothing major. And so honestly, that was really cool, because I was instantly getting this experience that I had never had before. And I wouldn't have gotten that opportunity having never had that opportunity if it wasn't for SHK. Do you know what I mean?
I do. But you could do everything.
Yeah.
It was a very easy transition.
It's true. I think that my hair career in Florida was helpful, because I learned how to do it all. In New York, people departmentalize a lot. So it's just, you either just cut, just color, or just style. And generally speaking, editorial hairstylists only style hair. Maybe they cut a little bit, but they definitely don't color. They're two totally different careers, which we'll get into in a minute, but like the salon world and the editorial world are two totally different, like, hair. Like, it's a completely different thing. So working with you at SHK, we had a lot of cool experiences and cool stories. Some of my favorite hair memories are SHK, like doing Tove Lo's hair and shooting with Mick Roth. Doing hair for SHK made me, A, meet other people that led to other jobs, and B, gave me hair experience that I wouldn't have had having no experience, which then also led to other jobs. And I feel like it's a perfect example of how New York is a giant hustle and a giant network. And ultimately, I decided to go back to the salon world for a million reasons. But I'm getting ahead of myself, I think. I want to talk about our relationship in terms of your hair specifically, because we obviously have the working together dynamic, but then we also have the I do your hair and we became friends because of it. So let me ask you this. I did your hair in a salon, and now I do your hair in your apartment. Rachel is the only person that I still do her hair in her apartment. Sorry, everybody else, but it's because we're friends and we have a good thing going. And she's the only person that I do this for. So I'm sorry to everybody else. You're going to hear us talk about some things that you may wish you had, but it's okay. So what's your favorite part about the way we do your hair?
Well, I don't like salons. Mm-hmm. I think my hair is the process. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time. Not with us, because you're pretty fast and we're just hanging out, so it goes by fast. But I don't think if you weren't doing my hair, I don't think I would wear it this way. I don't think people realize what a commitment this kind of platinum blonde look is.
It's true.
And it's a lot.
It's true. So Rachel has platinum blonde hair that she wears in a specific blunt bob with bangs. So it's an every 4 week, maybe 5 week commitment. And you're right. I feel like if it wasn't this situation, you probably wouldn't do it this way, because you'd have to be in a salon every 4 or 5 weeks.
You'd have to be in a salon every 4 or 5 weeks, with probably different assistants, pulling out your hair all the time. Mm-hmm. I get to do it in the privacy of my own home, so I can look like shit and it's fine. And I don't know. I like it. I don't think I would do it. Yeah, for sure I wouldn't do it in a salon.
What's different? So I guess since you've been in college, who else has done your hair? Because who did your hair in the time between? You don't have to tell me specifically who did your hair, but did you go to a salon when you first moved to New York?
I did, because I dyed my hair black, remember?
Yes.
I was more experimental back then, I guess. But I had a salon, a different magazine that I worked with had kind of like a hookup with the salon.
Right.
And so they would do my hair there. And then when I was in Australia, I could not find a decent hairstylist, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. So what do you like about the way I do hair?
I think you're very versatile. Mm. You know, I think more because you've been doing my hair the same for so long, on me, I like it because I get a lot of compliments. Mm-hmm. But also I think I liked on set that you could be very fast and change things up, could apply your own ideas to whatever the concept was. Which I think you could have explored more in your career, but maybe sometime.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll just say then, there was a very specific time. Like, I can remember the moment that I was like, nope, I belong doing regular people's hair. And I just mean that in terms of editorial versus, like, cut and color normal person. Mm-hmm. I was doing a shoot for Levi's, actually. I was the assistant hairstylist. And there was a huge blizzard coming, and the Levi's team was from California, and this huge blizzard was coming, and they were getting ready to shut down the subways, which has only happened 2 times in the entire time I've lived in New York. And I remember being like, if they shut the train down, I can't get here. I live in Brooklyn. The shoot was happening in West Village. And they were very much just like, and it wasn't from a place of like, I'm being lazy or I don't want to come. Like, I was doing a shoot for Levi's. Like, hell yes, I'll be there. Like, that's awesome. But I remember just being like, but if they shut the train down, I'm going to be in trouble. And they were like, well, just take a cab. And I was like, no, you don't understand. If they shut the trains down, that means they're also shutting the bridges down. And that also means that only emergency vehicles can be on the road. So like, I won't be able to get here. But it's Levi's. And I'm sure an extra day in the studio was going to probably cost them thousands of dollars. So they were like, fuck if we're not shooting tomorrow. And I just remember standing there and all of a sudden it was a lookbook shoot. It wasn't even anything cool. We're literally shooting jeans where the hair truly doesn't matter, but it has to be done in case it's in the shot. And I just remember thinking in this exact moment, and this isn't even classified as editorial because of what the shoot was, but I kind of just lumped everything into that like set life kind of a thing. But I remember standing there thinking, like, this is literally the least important thing that's going on in the world right now. Like, we're shooting pictures of denim that's not even going anywhere. Like, this wasn't like we're helping some new jeans brand like get off the ground and whatever. I'm having an impact on their, like, it's Levi's. They've been around forever and they're not going anywhere. And the hair didn't matter. And I just remember thinking, like, I am a connector when it comes to hair. I feel like the better I know a person, the better the hair I can do. And so all of a sudden I was like, this isn't where I belong. I'm good at it. And maybe down the road it will come back to my life. Like maybe when I need to retire from all the connecting, because that is exhausting, maybe I'll go back to it. But I just remember thinking like, I belong in a salon. And I didn't go back to a salon right away after that. I continued to freelance for a little while. But that was the moment, which brings me to the point of connecting. I feel like the more I connect with someone, the better the hair I can give them. And, you know, that's not to say that every person that I do their hair, I'm going to become friends with, like we're friends. But sometimes that just happens. And I think because of the nature of our relationship, it went, you know, when you're in someone's home, you can definitely get closer with them. And then we worked together, which sort of brought balance to it.
But when I would talk about you to other people, I don't say my hairstylist, Shirley. Yeah. I say like my friend Shirley does my hair.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's the reverse kind of situation.
Totally. Well, I don't say I have a client. It's on Tuesday. I say I'm going to do my friend Rachel's hair.
I guess I just kind of put that into perspective.
Yeah. No, it's true. Our relationship has shifted a lot over the years. Do you feel like you'd be able to tell me if there was something you didn't like about your hair?
If there was something I didn't like, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Good. Because I feel like that would be the thing that could get weird is if you were like afraid to tell me.
Yeah, but you know I would tell you.
Yeah. And I guess we've been doing the same thing for so long.
We have such a systematic routine that, you know, we're able to talk about other things and, you know, it kind of goes beyond hair and turns into life and that almost like old-fashioned barbershop relationship, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, do you like shoot the shit with your clients in the salon like that or...
I do. I have clients that, because I see such a wider range of clients now, I think when I was doing freelance, it was very specific. It was only people in my network, right? Because I was only meeting people through the people that I was doing their hair. So chances that they had that they were a similar age to me, that they had something in common with me was high. Now, I of course have referrals and people send me their friends and stuff, but I also have the random person that's just on my book because they want to go to parlor or whatever. So I have a really wide range of people. You know, there's some you're closer to. You end up talking about all kinds of different things and you go deeper with some than others.
See, if I was in a salon, I would have a book or something.
Yeah.
Talking.
Totally. Yeah. Which people do bring books. And I always say to people, like, you're not here to entertain me. So if you don't want to have a chat,
that's nice.
Read your book. Like, I'm good. Sometimes it's kind of nice. Like, one Saturday morning, one of my, like, we're friendly, this particular client, but she was really hungover, which is very unlike her. And she fully slept while I highlighted her hair. And she kept apologizing. And I was like, girl, it's Saturday morning. I'm tired too. Like, take a nap. I'll wake you up and we're done. I can't engage this much with every person that sits in my chair. That's why I'm so tired all the time, to be honest with you. It's my favorite part about what I do is the engagement, but it's also like, it's pretty tiring.
Really? There's never people where you're like, oh, I just don't want to talk to you right now.
Oh God, yes. There are absolutely people I don't want to talk to. Absolutely. But you...
Do you find yourself kind of saying the same when you get in those conversations? Do you have like your routine lines that kind of push the conversation along?
Yeah, I feel like in the salon, we go through, like you have your like story of the day. Like something will come up first thing in the morning and then it's the thing you talk about all day long.
Right.
So we end up getting like on each other's nerves as hairstylists because you're like, oh my God, if I have to listen to that story about your dog one more fucking time, I'm gonna slip and stab you with my shears.
It's like your weather conversation for the day.
No, it's true. It's such a weird thing, the hairstylist client dynamic and the salon dynamic in general. Something I think, so the cons of coming to your apartment would be we don't have the proper chairs, we don't have, you know, whatever, but it works for us because I don't, like, we have what I need, but not, it wouldn't work for everybody. Like, if I had to do some kind of really complicated color process, my back was starting to get kind of jacked up too, just from like standing. Like earlier today, you were like, Shirley, do I need to sit up more? You're like hunching in a really weird way. And I was like, oh yeah, that's true. And the schlepping of the bags, that got really old.
It sounds very, like, from the outside, it sounds very, oh, they come to your house and, like, pamper you. But it's really kind of teenager. It's like, oh, my friend's going to come dye my hair.
It's true. Because you can say it either, you can make it sound really good, or you can make it sound like kitchen hair. Like, you can make it sound like a concierge service that's, like, very fancy. Because I'm sure there are celebrities that have their person come to them. But then on the flip side of that, you can paint it as kitchen hair.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was trying to find the balance in that the entire time I was doing it. Like, I felt like I was constantly having to talk it up, maybe, or, like, explain it the right way. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that I feel like makes it interesting in terms of the relationship is that there's always a different dynamic when there's money involved. So it's like you can only be so close to someone that's paying you to do something, because as soon as someone's paying you to do something, like, I've always felt like there's certain things I can't say to people that are paying me, but because you don't pay me, it makes it different, because I can just, like, if I want to bitch about my bills to you, I can, or this, you know what I mean? Like, stuff that, like, you can't. Plus, there's also this, like, it's with in a salon, and I'm literally, this is just now hitting me. It's a very strange thing, because you can only let, because you have to remain professional. So while clients will tell me everything, I can't tell them everything, because they're not there for me. So it's almost like therapist therapy.
That's where that comes from.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, you can tell me everything, but I can only tell you so much. So it is kind of unique when it turns into a friendship, because that can't always happen.
Right.
Because I can't bitch about my life, but you can bitch about your life. Now, you and I somehow, like, the handful of people, the handful of friends that I have that started as clients, that's just a unique small group of people, if I'm really thinking about it. Just because I've had drinks with you not you, but just because I had drinks with a person doesn't make them my friend. No. So now that I'm really thinking about it, there's this like small handful of people that have become like actual friends. In which case those people either have to, and the common denominator is either you have to pay me less than normal or you have to pay me none at all for it to actually stay that way.
Or I think when that happens, like when you have a different exchange of money outside of the client chair stylist relationship, you can allow room for disagreements. And that's how friendships really are able to evolve, is because you have somebody that you can disagree with when you want to or don't want to. Do you know, you have that kind of room to like be honest and not fake all the time. You know, so I think that in a chair, in a salon, that would be really difficult to do, right? You can't disagree with your clients. But like with someone like me or whatever, like you have a little room to disagree, you know? And so you're able to kind of break down those barriers.
That's very true. So
like they can disagree with you.
Yes.
But like you can't.
Yeah. It's true. You
really
can't
disagree with them.
No. And I hear people that do that. And I don't think it'll be as successful. Like you kind of have to, not to say that like I'm always just gonna agree with everyone that's in my chair, but like at the same time, like you're here to get your hair done. Like, but I'm not going to get into a political dilemma.
Exactly. Like, you're not going to,
Like, exactly. It's not. Plus, like, do you really want someone doing your hair that's, like, now heated about something? Like, yeah, I was bitching to you earlier, and I was like, wait, I got to stop until I'm done cutting your bangs. Because I'm, like, bitching to you about this thing, and I can feel myself getting heated.
Do you ever forget people's names?
Yeah, I forget. So, not when they're, like, in my chair, but I'll have someone on my book that I'll be like, who is this person? Yeah. Like, I can't put their face to their name. And then the craziest thing happens. As soon as someone sits in my chair, all of a sudden everything we've talked about starts, like, rushing back.
No,
like, I'll remember the weirdest stuff that you told me, but, like, if you had asked me about it before you were, like, legitimately sitting in my chair, I wouldn't remember. But, like, I sometimes like search people on Facebook to
figure out their name is.
Yeah, to figure out their face. Yeah. I totally do that.
That's what it's there for, Facebook.
Yes, to remember your face. So that's a fun inside secret. Don't tell anyone.
Do you friend everybody on social media?
No.
You do?
No. I tell people to friend me. I friend the ones that I feel like we connect, like the ones that I want to stay up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people follow me because I also am like, you can send me hair inspiration. You can tag me in a picture that if you want.
Yeah.
Having all of that stuff kind of in one place is really helpful. And now that I don't freelance and my clients don't have my phone number like they used to, that's a way they can get in touch with me, is through social media if they need me for something. Or if, like, let's say we just did a huge haircut on someone and I want to make sure that they can reach me if they want it tweaked or whatever, I'll say, follow me. And I feel like, generally speaking, the ones that follow me are the ones that we, like, connected. And so then I'll follow them back. Definitely not Facebook, because Facebook's dumb.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm kind of trying to, like, get away from Facebook. Facebook is just, for me, just a series of things I shared from Instagram. But yeah, so I connect with people when it feels right. It's kind of funny. It's like dating.
Yeah, like what if they don't follow you back? What if they never come back to you?
I never follow someone first.
Do you ever see, like, obviously with me, it'd be quite weird if you, like, saw me walking down the street and my hair was totally different.
Would be so weird.
But like, does that ever happen with consistent clients?
Yes. Oh my God. So I
feel like betrayal.
It does. It's the weirdest thing. I have to like make myself like, it's really easy to care a lot and you get invested a lot. But the reality is like I have people that I don't do their hair anymore that still follow me on Instagram, and I see them like watching my stories and stuff. I don't pay super close attention to who's watching my stories, but periodically I'll like look and I'll be like, whoa, you still follow me, but I haven't done your hair in a year. And you do start to be like, what did I do? Is it me? But the reality is, and it can feel very strange when all of a sudden someone has new hair and you're like, I didn't do that. You feel like you've been cheated on. But there's about 100 reasons why someone would go to someone else. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to just like assume, oh, they hated their hair. And that might be the case. It could be money. It could be location. It could be a ton of different things.
Yeah. Recommendations.
Yeah.
Financially, I can imagine in a salon, though, that would be like exclusive to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
Just because I'm out of the loop, for instance, like, for shits and giggles, probably don't tell me because I'll feel bad. But, like, if I were to go in the salon and do this to my hair,
yeah,
which is a double process,
yeah,
bleach, blonde, bob.
Yeah.
Like, how much would that run on average?
I want to say that that is roughly, like, $300-ish in my chair, maybe a pinch more.
So there are people that come to you and spend that much money.
Yes.
Do you have any of these people who, like, I dream of being one of these people, for real, in
yeah,
the salon?
Yeah.
Or extra for my house, but who never blow dry their hair? Do you have any of those,
yeah,
New Yorkers?
Yeah. I did someone's hair like a day ago that was like, please don't dry my hair. Like, I never dry my hair. You have to, like, she just leaves her hair wet.
No, but I mean people who only do blowouts, like, never wash their hair.
Oh, that's what you mean.
Yeah. But that's interesting too.
Yeah. No, I don't have any of those. I gotta say, my clients are not, like, I shouldn't say not my clients. I think that East Village, where it's situated, it's so inconvenient to get to. Convenient if we're talking color or cut, because obviously you're going to be more like specific about who you're going to let do that. But for a blowout, I feel like my clients go to Dry Bar. I really do.
Dry Bar is the thing.
Yeah.
I used to go to a salon in Soho, and there were a lot of women who just went there like, mm-hmm, once or twice a week. Never, ever.
Yeah.
Like, really wash their own hair.
I don't have clients that never wash their own hair. I did in Tallahassee, actually.
Fascinating.
I had two off the top of my head that I blew their hair out every single week, and they did that, and they would make it the whole week. And if they didn't make it the whole week, they'd wear it curly or something. Because then they would, like, maybe like I wash their hair, blow it out, they wear it 5 days, then they wear it curly, and then they come back. But I think mostly this particular person I'm thinking of, I'm pretty sure I'm the only person that washed her hair. But I don't have any of those now. But my clients often say to me, like, Dry Bar is cheaper than what my blowout is, mm-hmm, and they're everywhere.
But Dry Bar is bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Dry Bar, obviously. I'm going to say that. But fun fact, I actually worked at Dry Bar for a short amount of time when I very first moved here.
You hated it.
I did, because I got a job there because they hired me. I didn't even finish the interview process, not to like toot my own horn, but I'm a seasoned stylist, so like I can blow your hair out. But I needed money coming in right when we got here. And so I took a job at Dry Bar just to like make some money while I like figured out my situation, which is when you reached out to me and were like, hey, you got to do my hair, whatever. And so here's the thing about Dry Bar. You can get a really good seasoned hairstylist that's going to do a great job, or you can get someone that's been out of hair school for 2 weeks.
Oh, it's like lottery. Kind of,
literally that. It's a complete lottery. Here's the other fun fact, and not to like completely throw a Dry Bar under the bus, but like I'm going to. I worked there for 3 months, and not one person ever put their eyes on my cosmetology license. Not one. I don't know if the laws are different for like I'm pretty sure you have to have a cosmetology license to shampoo and blow dry hair. I'm almost positive.
Oh, surely. You have a license for everything.
Yeah, you definitely do, because any random person can't shampoo at somebody in the salon.
When you have an assistant, there's a process.
Yeah. So not one person in the whole time that I worked there, plus they pay their stylist shit. They pay hourly and it's not good.
Which is why sometimes the hair is not
great. That's yeah. And so it's like, a good hairstylist is never gonna stay at Drybar. It's gonna be a passing thing. It's gonna be a stepping stone mm-hmm. to something else. And so that's why, but that being said, if you're paying $40 for a blowout and the place is around the corner, I think people are fine with taking that risk.
And when you think about like time is convenience, to have that so accessible
yeah.
now, I mean, it very much changed the way,
yeah,
you know, the process all works.
Yeah. The flip side of that, though, is I also have clients that don't even live in New York anymore, and they wait to get their hair done until they're here. Like, I have a client that moved to Seattle, like, literally 3 years ago, and she's never had her hair done in Seattle. Now, for her, it's a little different because she's in the fashion industry, so she actually comes to New York all the time, and I think the longest we've gone without doing her hair is 5 months. But, like, so the flip side, I guess, is what I'm saying is that, like, people will go out of their way for a cut and color, but I just don't feel like people go out of their way for a blowout.
No, but the more convenient it becomes, the less they'll go in their own personal way to blow dry it.
Yeah, yeah, know? Yeah. Would you ever go to a blow dry bar? No.
If I had that kind of disposable $45. Maybe I hate blow drying my hair. I don't even like you blow drying my hair. Like,
yeah.
Because our process, it's too much in the end. You know what I mean? It's like a whole...
Like you get to that part of the blow drying, you're like, can we just be done now?
It's like you don't want to make that extra flight
anywhere
else. You're just like, we're good, you know? But my hair blow dries pretty easy.
Yeah.
And I do it properly. It's not too bad.
Well, that makes me think about something else. So there are two different types of people too that get their hair done. Some people get it done out of like, I just need to have this done. Like it's like maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people it's luxury. And I feel like you fall, like meaning like I want to go to the salon and do the whole thing.
I'm maintenance for sure.
Yeah. Like you're literally doing it because you need to have it done. It's like,
I like this look. This is what I want. Like I'm not, you know, the pampering thing, I mean, in a salon, it looks kind of difficult. Like, it's mm-hmm. not what's so great about it.
Mm.
You're kind of sitting in this chair. There's a lot of people around you. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't really seem like pampering to me. You know, it's mm-hmm. not like you're getting... I mean, I don't even like massages, so I'm, like, a bad person to ask.
Yeah, you're, like, this is, like, a doctor's appointment for you. It's, like, a check-off. Like, okay, good, done. Hair's done.
Yeah. It's, like, you hang out with a friend, and mm-hmm. you... I imagine this is how probably men would, mm-hmm. you know, consider their haircuts. It's like, well, you're getting a little shaggy around the ears. You have to go get it cut. It's not like mm-hmm. they're going for some, like, mm-hmm. you know, me time or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the flip side of that is, like, people will literally bring a bottle of wine or a beer with them to the salon. And there are people that, like, legit, like, this is, like, their favorite thing that they do. And we give them a scalp massage and a hand massage. So the pampering does exist. But I think you're right. Like, because I think I fall into the same category as you. And I'm a hairstylist. Like, let's take me going to get my nails done, for example. I don't like getting my nails done. I do not find it relaxing. I'm like, this is a thing I have to go do.
Yeah.
I just, and then I sit there and I'm like, are we done yet? Like, yeah. Are we done yet? Are we done yet? Are we done yet? Because I just want it to be done. I don't sit still very well. So I can completely relate to the, like, this isn't relaxing, this is a chore.
Yeah, it becomes a part of a process.
Yeah.
You know, it's a means to an end.
It's true. But then there's, oh shit, I totally just lost my train of thought. The people that do freaking like love it. And thank goodness for both, because I think if I had a whole day of people that were like there for the experience, or a whole day of people that were like you, just there to get it done, I think a whole day of just one of those would be really exhausting. Because I always feel bad, like we're in December right now, so it's like the busiest time of year and I'm juggling a bit more. And my clients are really used to my focused attention and I've been pulled a little bit more than normal lately in the salon. And I always feel so guilty about it because I'm like, oh my God, you're like used to getting such focused energy from me. That I'm like, oh my God, if my assistant interrupts me one more time, I'm going to lose my shit because like this person's only getting this much time from me anyways. Right. Like, don't fucking interrupt me. Which, my assistants, if you're listening, I love you and I'm not really mad at you. But December's just stressful in general. Is December stressful in your job? Or is it kind of all the same?
It is until it's not. Like, there's a lot of deadlines you have to finish because, you know, people are away and you can't get work done. But I have a question. Yeah. So as far as, and you might not know this, like, from your salon in particularly, but maybe perhaps, like, in a general sense, like, are there women who come in for special events? Mm-hmm. Like, where, I'm wondering if, you know, I feel like back in the day, women were getting their hair done and they were getting dressed up and they were going somewhere. Whereas I feel like now you might get a blowout or something. But as far as like the actual hair, it's like reserved for celebrities or something. Like, are there regular people coming in like for their husband's gala, like for a do or their own gala? I don't know why I said husband's, but, you know, just kind of this event hair.
Yeah, it's, yes, there are people that do event hair. I think largely we're in this thing with hair right now where hair is way more relaxed. And I think that's the difference. I don't so much think that it's reserved just for celebrities. I think the hair that people want is less done. And so I think maybe people are not doing as much of these, like, go get your hair done thing. But also, too, back to dry bar. I feel like blow dry bars have changed what people are coming to the salon, like a salon for, because now it's like this, I think they have a punch card. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if dry bar has like an actual punch card, but I really think that they have, like, oh, you can buy packages and stuff like that.
Surely, yeah.
So I don't do as much of that anymore because I think they're going to dry bar. I mean, I just had a client for her Christmas party. But that's not happening constantly for me anymore. It's totally changing. Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
I also think New York is kind of different too. I feel like New Yorkers are not as done up as they're done in the South.
Where are they going in the South?
Oh my God. Like, Junior League? I don't know. Well, Junior League events? I don't know. I just feel like people in the South, you know, they have, like, people are going to events here, but I don't think people are as, like, people are done. I just don't, like, in New York, I think people are done, but I think that they're not as done, if you know what I mean. Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense. Well, I think also New York is, like, the land of the tourists.
Mm.
Like, I mean, I went to the opera on a New Year's Eve, and I wore like a sequins dress and I looked really nice, and like there are people in the bathroom line wearing jeans. You know, I just don't think, I don't know, because I feel like I like this idea of like the glamorous idea of not necessarily having this like hair, that's your identity and that's who you are, but the ability to play with it and have fun is like, well, the Coachella braid and what else? You know, like, I feel like it's quite.
Yeah. Right now, hair is in a very, like, kind of.
Really, why? I mean, not something you would do every day. You know what I mean? But I feel like also people aren't, like, having extravaganzas like they should be.
Well, it's true. People also should have been getting fucking dressed up for the opera. They were in, the person in the jeans was in the wrong. It's the same as, like, fucking air travel. It used to be that you got dressed to go flying.
Right.
To go flying. You used to get dressed to fly somewhere. You used to get dressed to go to a Broadway. But you're right. Now if you go see a Broadway show, you're going to see people in jeans and you're going to see people in a gown. I think that...
So many tourists.
So many... Yeah, it's true. I don't know what the explanation is for flying, but yeah, it's tourists. And I don't want to say that hair is... right now, but it is definitely less done than it used to be. I think even if you look at the red carpet, you might see that it's like beach waves and Coachella braids and messy hair, and people are like leaning into frizz more, people are leaning into their natural texture more. I have more clients than ever that aren't blow drying their hair or that are just like buying a wand, you know?
Wands are really hard to use.
You think?
Yeah, I can't use it.
Tell me why.
It burned me.
Oh, you need a wand that has like a plastic bit on the end.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because mine like came with a glove and I lost the glove, obviously.
Obviously. Really... Yeah.
Also, I'm just not good at this, like doing your own hair kind of situation. Some people are really good at it. I'm just not.
Yeah. No, it's true. I think some people find wands to be really easy. I think wands are really easy. And I think on paper, they're supposed to be really user-friendly. But I'm never going to put a glove on. That's weird. And
I feel like that's for safety reasons.
No, it is. But I think that's so weird. I would never do that. If I wasn't a hairstylist and I bought a wand and it came with a glove, I would be like, I'm just going to burn myself. Like, that's weird.
Yeah,
but the wand I have has like a plastic end to it. So you have like a place to like put your other hand.
Yeah, I love that.
I need to give you a tutorial on it. Although, here's the other thing. Your hair is really short.
Yeah,
and that
doesn't work.
You'd have to have like a tiny wand. Anyways.
Cut that part out because that's really
I think it was kind of funny. I think it's relatable.
I think everybody knows how to use a wand. But
I don't think that's true. I think it's more relatable than you think. People don't know how to use wands. Anyways. All right, it's Tuesday in December. We both have a lot of other stuff to do. Let's call it a day. I hope you guys have a great week. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions about hair or how to use a wand, you should reach out and I'll let you know. Or just go on YouTube. 14-year-olds are making how-to videos constantly, and they're actually pretty good at it.
It's more like if people have questions about is their hairstylist sketchy, then they should ask.
Yes, thank you. That is a much better thing.
If you feel like something is, if you see something, ask.
If you see something, say something. If you see something, ask something. I'm always here for you. If you need to know if what your stylist is doing is right or not, ask me and I'll let you know. All right, you guys, have a good week. I'll talk to you later. Bye.